Good morning. My name is Jonathan Bishop. I'm the chair of the Santa Monica Restoration Commission. Luke, do we have a quorum yet?
Morning, Chair. We are one short of quorum, but we are expecting some more members to show up shortly.
Great. So, Eric?
Morning. Okay. Chair, we can start this as a workshop and then call the meeting to order once we do have a quorum, which is a majority of voting members. So until that point, we won't take action on anything. So I believe the action items are a little bit further down in the agenda, and hopefully we have quorum and we can call the meeting to order for those.
I think we just got a quorum.
We just got a quorum with Susie.
Okay, then. I will call this meeting to order. Caitlin, will you go over the meeting procedures and call roll?
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thank you, everyone, for joining us. We're grateful to have Del Rey Yacht Club hosting us and have audiovisual support from AGP. If you're new to this space, restrooms are down the hall to the left. We also have some refreshments and bagels in the back of the room. Help yourself. If you need to connect to Wi-Fi, the network is DRYC_clubhouse, and the password is capital P, PALAWAN 1108. It's also written on the board near the doors, if you need to reference that. This meeting is held in a hybrid format in which members of the public and members of our board are participating both remotely and in person. And at this time, I believe we have two members joining us remotely. For members and the public participating remotely, if you need technical support using Zoom, please email it@agpvideo.com. Now I'll provide some information on how public participation will be organized for today's meeting. You must be in the room or on Zoom to make public comment. You can request a comment in a few ways. If you're in person, we have speaker cards located at the table near the doors, and just fill that out and hand that to myself or Luke. If you're participating via Zoom, you can raise your hand virtually when we reach the item that you'd like to speak under. You can use the raise hand function at the bottom of the screen on the Zoom app. If you're calling in over the phone, dial *9 to raise your hand and *6 to unmute yourself. The meeting is being recorded and live streamed, so we ask that you please speak clearly. For members who are in person, please remember to turn on your microphone when you speak and turn them off when you've finished. And that concludes the overview of meeting logistics. I recommend we move to roll call introductions.
Please do.
Okay. I'm going to share the roster and call members in alphabetical order by last name. And feel free to state your affiliation when I call your name. Okay. Just 1 minute to 1 second, please.
Caitlin, you can go ahead and start the roll call while they work on this.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Sabrina Ashtian.
Present.
Jonathan Bishop.
Here with the State Water Resource Control Board.
Phil Brock. Charles Casperi.
Present.
Megan Cooper. Joining us remotely?
I am here remotely.
Tom Ford.
Tom Ford, Director, Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program.
Dean Francois.
Dean Francois here, Mayor of Hermosa Beach, representing the Council of Governments.
Karen Mogus.
I am here remotely.
Dan Murphy.
Representing LA County Fire Department, Public Safety.
Jenny Newman.
Here representing Cali, PA, LA Regional Water Quality Control Board.
Aaron Ordower.
Present, representing Supervisor Lindsay Horvath.
Catherine Peace.
Present, representing Heal the Bay.
Lauren Pizer-Mains.
Present, representing Senator Ben Allen.
Michael Quill.
Present, representing Los Angeles Waterkeeper, alternate.
Greg Rashal.
Present.
Susie Santelena.
Present, representing City of Los Angeles, LA Sanitation and Environment.
Clark Stevens.
Good morning, Resource Conservation District of the Santa Monica Mountains.
Martha Tremblay.
Present, representing Los Angeles County Sanitation Districts.
Ryan Valencia.
Present, representing Assemblywoman Jackie Irwin, 42nd Assembly District.
Catherine Vernez.
Present, representing the Bay Foundation.
Aaron Wilson Olgan.
Present, representing Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Erica Yelensky.
Good morning. Erica Yelensky, representing U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
Did I miss any members? Okay. That should conclude roll call introductions, and I believe at this time we have a quorum of voting members in person. And I recommend we move to item one for public comment.
Thank you very much. So public comment is the opportunity for members of the public to provide comment on items that are not on the agenda. Our practice is to have 4 minutes per person for spread across all the agenda items. Caitlin, do we have anyone for public forum?
Yes, we've received three requests for public comment under this item.
Okay, let's move forward.
The first comment we have was the first comment we have was submitted from Walter Lamb, who submitted written comments because he cannot join us in person. So I'll read his comments starting now. The Bayona Wetlands Land Trust appreciates the California Department of Fish and Wildlife's support for community stewardship events to reduce the prevalence of invasive weeds in the Bayona Wetlands Ecological Reserve. Regardless of the future of any potential large-scale restoration effort, there is a strong consensus that thoughtfully expanding native plants in the reserve will increase its value to native wildlife. These efforts also provide additional opportunities for tribal engagement, as well as workforce development for young people in disadvantaged communities. We continue to believe that a formal expression of support for these efforts from the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission would be valuable. In the meantime, our organization is focused on conducting additional stewardship activities in cooperation with CDFW to build upon past successes. Thank you for your consideration of these comments. So that'll conclude Walter Lamb's written comments. I'll call on the next speaker, Mitchell Lockman. Just give us one moment to get your timer up on the screen. You'll have 4 minutes.
Oh, okay, ready. Hi, everybody. I really appreciate your efforts. I'm trying to get started on the topic, but I really appreciate everybody's efforts. But I think gentlemen, ladies, have been considering the tremendous runoff from the agriculture. I think I use the word as disjuncture between this group and the agricultural industry with their fertilizers, the nitrates, that invariably get down into the ocean that are dealing with the major, what they call the red tides, the killing of the ocean, the planktons. I think this group has to align with the Farm Bureau, the agricultural groups, to see what they can do about the fertilizers that they're using. As you know, these fertilizers, well, you may know and don't know, from Seattle down the coast, it has been brown tides from the basically killing the bacteria in the ocean. And it's coming pretty much from agriculture. This is a major, major issue, killing the ocean. So I don't think you guys have an alignment with the farmers, particularly you could do this in California at least, to get together with them what they can do. Now, I know, this is like food. But in the past, just to give you an idea of a solution, is in the past that we grew up with learning in school is the farmers used to put the land aside for a period of time, a year, or every 4 years they would use the land again for growing. That's the best I can think of to help you along if you go on this. I think this is something that you really need to do because this there is no coordination between this group, I believe, no coordination between this and the Farm Bureau coordination of, you know, of the how they grow their food, which is applying to the ocean. And the other major thing is the money to do that kelp restoration off the Santa Monica Pier and Marina Del Rey and Venice. It's not there, and you can't get going on it until you get the money, and that comes from Senator Ben Allen, which is in arrears to doing this. I've talked to him about it. He said he would do it, but that I only have 4 minutes. But that's about it. But I think that Farm Bureau and this group, you haven't discussed it, but I think you should get together and put it on the agenda and start talking to the farmers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I would suggest you take the time after this meeting to contact Jenny Newman to talk about the agricultural permits that the Regional Water Quality Control Board does to control nitrates. We have different regional boards that permit agriculture along the whole state. So there is actually regulatory programs to address nitrate contamination and discharge.
Okay, our next speaker is Petria Seymour. You will have 4 minutes. Just give us one moment to get your timer up on the screen. And the mic should be on for you. And you now have the floor.
Hello, everybody. I'm a resident of Playa del Rey, and I'm very concerned about the invasive species of plants in the Bellona wetlands, particularly the castor bean plants. As you know, ricin, which is a deadly poison, is made out of castor bean plants, and they seem to be proliferating all over the area. Encroaching on all of the wildlife. They're by the side of the roads. It's hell. I echo Walter Lamb's comments about promoting the ability of people in Playa del Rey, such as myself, to be able to take out these plants and help with it all, because we really need to get rid of them. It's really terrible. It's super sad. Obviously, this needs to be done in an organised way, not some kind of haphazard fashion. We don't want a whole load of people marauding over the wetlands and grabbing at any plants. And I also support native species being planted in the wetlands to help the butterflies. It makes a massive difference. I've got a garden with lots of native plants, and it's beautiful to see all the creatures. So I hope you take account. It's not just me. There's tons of people in Playa who feel the same way. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So I believe, yes, we don't have any more requests for public comment for this item.
Thank you very much. Then we'll move on to item 2A. See order of the agenda. Staff does not propose any changes. Do any of the governing board members wish to change the order of the agenda? Seeing none, we will go to the report from the chair 2B. September 19th, we had an executive committee meeting to receive updates from the commission staff. We also discussed the resolutions that we're going to talk about later on today and propose bringing them forward to you. And we started our discussion on the approach to the update of the CCMP. And, of course, we established the agenda for this meeting. Unless there are any questions on the executive committee, I'd like to move on to the report from the technical advisory committee. Luke?
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
I'll try a different mic. Let's try this. Okay. Thank you, Chair. Our technical advisory committee's chair is not present, so I have a statement on his behalf. So there has not been a technical advisory committee meeting since May, because most of our members have been busy with their summer field work. And the next TAC meeting will take place in December, and staff have been working with the TAC chair to create an agenda for that meeting.
Thank you. Tom, like a report from the SMBNEP director.
Thank you, Jonathan. And I do believe I have a couple slides prepared to assist you all with the announcements I just want to make this morning. The Bay Foundation's been working with the State Coastal Conservancy, a number of project partners and potential contractors, developing a program that we're calling the Santa Monica Bay Coastal Habitat Restoration Program. CHIRP. I love it. I can't wait to make a T-shirt or two for CHIRP. In this, certainly I think you're going to find a number of familiar outputs or outcomes for our efforts across a suite of projects, or in this case, a program that's working on ecological restoration, intended to enhance coastal resilience in many cases, get after climate change adaptation both in the bay and along the shoreline, an increased focus on workforce development, tribal engagement, and increasing equitable access to our coast. So the next slide will take this from something less abstract and a few things for you folks to look at. So just let me orient you to that that table that you see. That first column is a list of the various projects that we're looking at. So those top to bottom, kelp restoration, abalone infrastructure and restoration, eelgrass transplant, dive training program, internship program, marauder robotics, which I'm happy to explain any of these to you, and we'll orient you further to them, a refurbishment of a research vessel, an investment in furthering our clean boating initiative, creating a series of dunes on Santa Monica State Beach, work with the Gabrielino Tongva Springs Foundation around the Curavunga Sacred Springs, which are located in West Los Angeles, and then dedicated line items for communication and outreach and project management. The map that you're looking at should look familiar to you. That's our bay and our coast, and the locations for our anticipated eelgrass transplant work off of the south-facing shoreline of Malibu, the Curavunga Sacred Springs, denoted right where that is on the map, just below that Santa Monica State Beach outlined, where we have plans to develop close to 43 acres of dunes along that stretch of the coast. Certainly our focused efforts on clean boating are right here in the marina. If those of us looking this way, perfect reminder. Looking at furthering awareness for and adoption of composting marine toilets. I touched on the dunes already. And then the Curavunga Sacred Springs is intended to advance the work of that foundation
to create ecological lift within that sacred site around the springs that literally gave the name to Santa Monica Bay and the city itself. But in addition, in this situation, an opportunity to increase native vegetation on that site and further a more natural hydrologic condition there. Second column shows you the total budget for these projects, roughly $10.26 million. And that third column under which you see contracts is the money that would be coming into the Bay Foundation through this effort and then moving out of our foundation to support partners, researchers, collaborators on this work. In many ways, I think that this suite helps us further the interests of this commission, of the National Estuary Program, and our comprehensive conservation and management plan, as well as our comprehensive monitoring program, and was really happy to be able to put this before you today. We are not yet on an agenda. This is not fully finalized. There are still some processes yet to go through with the State Coastal Conservancy in producing this program. But I think we're at a close enough stage where we've got enough resolution that I felt it was timely to share this with you. As I know, Jonathan often cuts me off at some point because I ramble on here. I think that's maybe a fair introduction to this, and maybe to just take some questions if that seems appropriate.
Yes, Charlie.
This is a wonderful set of projects. Are these funded exclusively through the State Coastal Conservancy?
And I know Megan's online, so perhaps she would like to address that question, but I can speak to it if she'd rather I do so. Megan?
Sure. Hi, everyone. This budget here, the $10.2 million, this is all coming from the State Coastal Conservancy. It was a line item in the state budget for Santa Monica Bay restoration. The Bay Foundation has other funding that is also going into these projects, but this is the amount that's coming from the Coastal Conservancy. Did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hi.
Martha.
Thank you for sharing information on this effort. I noticed that there's a project along the abalone infrastructure. Is that in the vicinity where there's the sliding, the activity there, and is there'll be coordination or, I mean, an attempt to work with the changing landscape? Is that what that project involves?
Thank you for the question, Martha. The abalone infrastructure and restoration will continue to provide support in this case to advance our outplanting of abalone from our mariculture facilities. We've gotten a little lucky maybe, but I would say that, you know, good planning helps favor good fortune. So we have not worked in the Portuguese Bend area because of the geologic conditions there, which obviously have been ongoing but have recently worsened significantly. So the sediment impacts to those reefs and honestly what looks like the creation of a new reef is well underway but not directly impacting any of our sites. A large part of that investment indicated by the term infrastructure in this regard is redoing the mariculture facilities, life support systems, increasing our ability to condition water coming out of the harbor so we can get it tuned up to the right pH and clarity and things that we would like to better care for the abalone.
Okay, you know, thank you. I guess I see it's a little on the east of it, right, where you guys are, where that work is going on.
Yes, okay. Correct. We are north of and west of Point Vicente with the one that looks like a carrot or an arrow, and then the polygon that you see with the abalone Palos Verdes Peninsula near shore is largely below that area of the slide. And I'm sorry, I did step over it in my presentation. The SCMI is the location for the abalone facility, which is on Terminal Island, San Pedro, California.
Any other questions for Tom? Yes.
Tom, could you describe the dive training program?
Yep, happily. Thank you, Greg. So the dive training program is a collaboration, a few things yet to work out, with a nonprofit organization called the Aquatic Futures Foundation and a developing partnership with UCLA. And in this effort, we are reaching out to disadvantaged BIPOC community youth to help them get through barriers to scientific training as marine scientists. So we all have very specialized training requirements to operate safely as marine biologists out there. A lot of these young people have geographical barriers, a few other things that they need to overcome. Certainly there's a lot of financial commitment that folks find challenging. So it's our intention over this next 2 years coming up to really start to develop a diversified workforce. And with the internship program that you also see laid out there, we expect that several of these students, once completing their training, would then be able to get their first job in the field working with the Bay Foundation on our projects out there in the Bay.
Any other questions for Tom?
Tom, if just real quick, what's the general scope at Coirvana Springs?
Yeah, generally speaking, Clark, there is some hardscape that's still fragmented around the site. They're looking for support to help remove. There's certainly non-native vegetation that they continue to manage and look to remove, and we expect to support them with materials and some infrastructure to aid in their propagation on site, as well as getting those plants in the ground. And then more generically, programmatic support so they can open up the gate more than once a month at that location to get more people aware, involved, and engaged in the work at Coirvana.
Okay. We'll talk after.
Charlie.
Question for Tom. This is, a great overview of the work that's going on. There's another set of projects that are funded by EPA for the National Estuary Program. Be great if we had a color-coded aerial shot like this labeled. Whose projects and where? And I think it would really promote public awareness of how many opportunities there are to participate, and really building groundswell of support for funding of these projects. Thank you. Let me know when you have it.
I wrote it down, Charlie. I'll get back to you very soon. Thank you.
Any other questions for Tom?
Chair, I was just going to ask, exciting, thank you for the presentation. When does the internship program launch, and how many students do you hope to serve? Or how many folks do you hope to serve?
Thank you, Aaron. We anticipate this project or this program getting off the ground early part of 2025. Again, a few things yet to work out to get us there. The way we structured our budget was we anticipated around 28 internships that would last for up to 15 weeks each internship. That's mutable, obviously. We might shuffle some of that around. We might be able to create more, shorten some other of those terms. And at this time, we anticipate paying $25 an hour for those interns. So we think it's, a legitimate wage and a legitimate, entry point for a first job.
Any other questions for Tom? Seeing none, we will move on to reports from members on implementation of the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan. Erica.
Thank you, everyone. And maybe I'll make a comment first. I really appreciate how those projects are building off of what we've what we have in the CCMP and in the equity plan that this body developed over the past couple of years. So just a quick update. We've been talking about the NEP's program evaluation this year, and we had a site visit in May, and some of you were at the table when we had a presentation with the executive committee, and then I did a brief presentation for this body in June. And so I'm very excited to say that the letter is final, and it was sent to Tom, and I believe Jonathan is the chair, was CC'd, and I shared it with commission staff as well. So no surprises. So really excellent job on the work accomplished over the past 5 years. That is detailed in the letter. I won't repeat that here, although I gladly will if anybody wants me to. And then also some calls for what we could do in the next 5 years. So I really look, and so that's kind of administrative efficiencies and also doing improving how we communicate and program successes. I think those are the key things, and I'm excited to work with all of you on kind of incorporating that into the next iteration of the CCMP and our future work plans. Thank you.
So I appreciate that. And, Tom, I would like to see the initial response prepared for the next executive committee so that we can go over that.
Happy to do so. And we will have it's going to take us some time in the next week just to get that the letter posted up on the webpage so that everybody else has got access to it as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Any other reports from members? Seeing none, we will move on to adoption of the consideration of adoption of the June 20th meeting minutes. As you all recall, we postponed a consideration of those minutes at the last meeting to ensure that we had accurately included changes requested. And so, Luke, could you and Caitlin go over the changes?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So we have two sets of minutes to consider for approval, starting with the June minutes. We postponed considering approval of the June minutes due to some member comments, which we resolved after that meeting. So we confirmed with Lori Newman that the changes you see on the minutes presented on the screen right now are accurate and satisfactory. Some other changes that were made to the June minutes was that we added Dean Francois' comment on deliberations about the Biona Wetlands Restoration Project presentation. And we also corrected the spelling of a public attendee's name. It's Sean Silva on page 10 of the draft. We had the name wrong. That is a summary of all the changes to the June minutes that were made. And I recommend moving forward with considering approval.
Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
And do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Caitlin, I suggest we do roll call.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. 1 minute while I share the roster. Okay. So approval of the revised June 20th Governing Board meeting minutes. Sabrina Ashton.
Abstain. I wasn't present for that meeting.
Thank you. Jonathan Bishop.
Aye.
Phil Brock.
Aye. Sorry.
Charlie Caspary.
Yes.
Megan Cooper.
Can I vote if I'm not there?
I'm sorry?
Can I vote if I'm remote?
Megan, this is Eric Gilman, counsel for the commission. The general idea with approving minutes is that you have familiarity. So if you weren't there, that's okay. But the expectation is that you you know, watched or
sorry,
listened.
Sorry, I meant if I'm not in the room right now. Oh. I thought I didn't count as
apologies.
A quorum member.
Yes, of course.
So I can't. Okay, aye on the minutes.
Okay, thank you, Megan. Dean Francois?
Yes.
Dan Murphy?
Yes.
Jenny Newman?
Aye.
Aaron Ordower?
Yes.
Genevieve Osmena?
Yes.
Catherine Peace?
Yes.
Michael Quill?
Yes.
Greg Rochal?
Yes.
Susie Santelena?
Yes.
Clark Stevens?
Yes.
Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Aaron Wilson-Olgan?
Yes.
And did I miss any members? I don't believe so. So the June minutes passed. They are approved. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I'd like to move on to the August 15th minutes. There is no proposed changes. Catherine.
I had one. I just noticed, I believe Paul Cobian's name was misspelled. I think it's IA versus AI. That's all.
Okay, just give me one moment to share this screen. And Catherine, was your comment for under the agenda item or listed as an attendee? Or both?
I think wherever it was.
Okay, and both references.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for pointing that out. Second.
Any other changes noted by members? Seeing none, I would ask for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Excuse me, Chair. I also noticed that we neglected to include the presenter's name under public attendees. Should I add that? Paul Cobian and Christine Batakian?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Apologies for that.
Do I have a second?
Motion.
Okay. And we will give Caitlin a second so that she doesn't have to do both at once.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Okay. Okay, so the revised August 15 meeting minutes. Sabrina Ashton.
Yes.
Thank you. Jonathan Bishop.
Aye.
Phil Brock.
Aye.
Charlie Casperi.
Yes.
Megan Cooper.
Aye.
Dean Francois.
Yes.
Dan Murphy.
Yes.
Jenny Newman.
Yes.
Aaron Ordower.
Yes.
Genevieve Osmena.
Yes.
Catherine Peace.
Yes.
Michael Quill.
Yes.
Greg Rochal.
Yes.
Susie Santelena?
Yes.
Clark Stevens?
Yes.
Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Aaron Wilson-Olgan?
Yes.
Thank you. The August minutes are approved.
Thank you. All right. Now we'll move on to an information item, a presentation by the Safe Clean Water Program, LA County Public Works. Luke, would you introduce this item?
Yes, thank you, Chair. And I know we're doing things a little out of order here, but we think it's relevant. So this informational item is a continuation of our previous discussions on LA County's Safe Clean Water Program. This informational item will focus on watershed planning, which is one of the main topics that came up during Bruce Resnick's Safe Clean Water Program presentation in August. So you all will learn more about watershed planning from this. And after that governing board meeting in August, commission member and principal engineer of LA County Public Works, Genevieve Osmina, reached out to staff and offered to provide an overview of LA County's watershed planning efforts around Santa Monica Bay. Genevieve also offered to share some initial information Public Works has learned from various outreach efforts across the county. So staff felt that this informational item would complement Bruce Resnick's presentation from the last meeting because it will provide some recent Safe Clean Water Program updates and additional context for the proposed Safe Clean Water Program resolution, which is agenda item 5A of today's meeting. So I will now hand things over to Luis Perez, who will be giving this presentation.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me? Great. Okay. All right. Well, good morning. Like Luke mentioned, my name is Luis Perez, and I'm part of the LA County Public Works Safe Clean Water Watershed Planning Team, which is also headed by Genevieve Osmeña. I want to thank you for allowing us to present today on our Safe Clean Water initial watershed plans and the development process. Next slide, please. So today we'll be covering a brief background on the Safe Clean Water Program, discussing how it started and where we are today, followed by a high-level overview of our approach to watershed planning, which includes discussion on some key milestones, outputs, target setting, and our timeline and schedule. Next slide, please. So before the program existed, LA County was facing numerous water resilience challenges, and those continue to exist and are exacerbated by climate change and more extreme weather cycles. The current infrastructure was designed to reduce flood risk, but it was not designed to handle the types of pollutants that are conveyed in our local waterways. Additionally, we acknowledged that stormwater was an underutilized resource, and its utilization could help us address some of these water resiliency issues and provide opportunities. But at the time, there wasn't a sufficient dedicated funding source to capture stormwater. Next slide, please. So to assist in addressing those regional challenges, regional solutions were needed. The regional solutions desired were those that involved development of multi-benefit projects and programs that would improve water quality, increase local water supply, and enhance communities. It was also understood that to be successful at this, it would rely heavily on regional collaboration between the municipalities, the county, nonprofits, and NGOs, and communities. Next slide, please. So to address all these issues, the Safe Clean Water Program was developed, and in 2018 it was known as Measure W, and it was taken to the voters, and it had support from about two-thirds of LA County voters, and so that led to the creation of the Safe Clean Water Program and the tax. And the tax itself is a tax on impermeable area. So that's anything that is not bare ground, grass, vegetation, or trees. So things such as concrete walkways, building footprints, paved areas, those areas would be taxed at 2.5 cents per square foot. And there was various exemptions included in the tax, such as for low-income seniors. So through that tax, we collect approximately $280 million annually, and it's divided up into three programs. We have our regional program, which is 50% of the funds from the tax, followed by the municipal program, which is 40%, and the flood control district program, which is 10%. So that 50% regional program is for the development of projects and programs to address the Safe Clean Water Program goals. And then the 40% for the municipal programs, it's a funding that we return to the cities for them to develop their own projects and programs to address stormwater issues. Let's see. Next slide, please. So just looking at the regional program, that's that 50% of the funding, we're the county, the flood control district is divided up into 9 distinct watershed areas. And it, the program also created governance committees, including the watershed area steering committees. And those committees are responsible for allocating funding to projects that will meet the 14 goals of the Safe Clean Water Program. And those committees are made up of municipalities within that watershed area, large agencies such as the LA County Flood Control District, other water agencies, and Department of Parks and Recs, as well as community stakeholders. So you can see that for the 3 Bay watershed areas, the central one, they collect approximately $17.1 million per year, north about $1.8 million, and the South Santa Monica Bay about $17.3 million. All right, next slide. So this slide, you know, so we've been around since 2018, and so far we've developed 4 annual stormwater investment plans, which is a recommendation for how to utilize that funding to address the water resilience issues. So this slide shows the first 4 rounds of the program. You can see that approximately $513 million has been invested in stormwater projects and programs, and that does not include leverage funding that would double the amount of funding that's been utilized for water resilience issues. There's been about 126 infrastructure projects, and we've captured through those projects about 260,000 acres of stormwater. So I'll note that the Safe Clean Water Program is not a static program, and it is specifically designed to evolve and improve itself over time, which will lead to my main discussion today on watershed planning. So next slide, please. So I'll just read you the core principle of our watershed planning effort, and that's the Safe Clean Water Program watershed planning efforts have been initiated to facilitate regional and watershed-based planning that identifies opportunity areas and refines targets that will support strategic investments. So through the watershed planning process, we are evaluating and determining areas within those 9 Safe Clean Water Program watershed areas with the most promising opportunities for the development of impactful water quality, water supply, and community enhancing multi-benefit projects. These projects will also prioritize nature-based solutions and investments in disadvantaged communities. The watershed planning efforts will build upon past works, some of the ones that you see on screen, such as recommendations from the Regional Oversight Committee, the LA County Board of Supervisors motions, and other county planning initiatives. And so that the watershed planning effort aims to garner meaningful community input, leverage available data and best practices, and create interactive, transparent, and accessible plans and associated tools. One thing I'll note is that the development of the initial watershed plans that we're working on, they're not going to specify projects, but they will serve as a resource for applicants and the governance committees to help make informed decisions. And they will highlight the watershed area specific opportunity areas, priorities, and targets that will be addressed during the watershed planning. Next slide, please. So this is just our milestones and outputs. So in November, we will develop the initial watershed planning framework, which will involve a lot of data analysis and compilation, review of existing plans, and we'll develop a gaps analysis so that by May of next year, 2025, we will develop initial watershed plans for each of the 9 watershed areas, and those plans will identify the opportunity areas, the targets, and the planning tools. And after that, as I mentioned, the watershed planning and Safe Clean Water is not meant to be static. It will continue to evolve, and so we'll go into future adaptive plans that will be a refinement of the plans that have been created before it. Next slide. All right, so this is just identifying our flowchart for watershed planning. The circle there represents the watershed area specific opportunity areas, targets, and characteristics that are being evaluated through analysis and collaboration with a variety of stakeholders. The three rounded boxes on the left represent the primary efforts that will inform development of those opportunity areas, targets, and characteristics. So that includes review of existing plans and data sets, including information from the metrics and monitoring study, the county water plan, our county sustainability plan, the WIMPs, IRWIMP, Vision 2045, and much more. And analysis of the watershed area capabilities and engagement with WASC for priorities and strategies consensus. And we're also engaging with other interested parties and community for community input, such as the Rebuild SoCal Partnership, as well as school greening advocates. So once those opportunity areas and targets and characteristics are established, they will be incorporated into the initial watershed plans. And as I mentioned, they will continue to evolve with adaptive plans in the future. And every 5 years, we will be working on a new adaptive plan to continue to progress the program. Next slide. So I wanted to quickly highlight some of the engagement efforts that are included in our watershed planning. So in parallel with our effort, we are about to initiate a community strengths and needs assessment survey to obtain feedback from communities about their needs and preferences for the Safe Clean Water Program projects. And it will build upon previous community outreach efforts by the watershed coordinators, the Water Talks needs assessment, and other countywide data sets. Additionally, we're continuing to solicit input on the watershed planning effort and key definitions from focus groups, including the WASCs, the Scoring Committee, Our Water LA, you here, the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission, municipalities, watershed coordinators, and others. Additionally, we have what are known as the watershed coordinators, and we have 12 of them throughout LA County. And these are hired consultants that are active in the communities within each of the watershed areas, and they inform, educate, and make the Safe Clean Water Program accessible to all those who want to be involved. Next slide. So how will the watershed planning be used? So the plans will be used to guide prospective applicants in the following capacities. The developed planning tools will highlight priority areas and project types to guide prospective applicants in developing projects that best serve each watershed area. So when applying, the developers will be asked to identify if and how their projects align with the initial watershed plans and how they advance achievement of the Safe Clean Water Program goals. Additionally, there's project alignment considerations. So the governance committees, such as the watershed area steering committees that are deciding how to spend the funding, will take into consideration project alignment with the watershed plans during their stormwater investment plan deliberations. And these planning tools, the plans and planning tools are envisioned to be living documents that could help the WASC visualize how proposed project scenarios support the needs of the watershed area and advance progress towards identified targets. All right, next slide, please. All right. So to develop the meaningful targets, we're taking a combination of a top-down and bottom-up approach and selecting targets that range based on Safe Clean Water Program and watershed area priorities. So on the left there, you could see a graphic of the watershed planning target setting methodology, which shows how countywide targets for water quality, water supply, and community investment benefits and other benefits will be translated into watershed area specific targets. So just as an example, we'll talk about the countywide aspirational target of collecting 300,000 acre feet of stormwater, of additional stormwater. And so from the bottom-up approach, we will assess the current projects that have been funded and seeing collectively how much water supply they have contributed. And from that aspirational goal and that ground truth goal, we'll find a happy medium in the middle. And from there, we'll further subdivide the Safe Clean Water Program contribution by each specific watershed area, again, while also considering watershed area characteristics, opportunity areas, priorities, and stakeholder feedback. So if you look at the circular graphic there, if you complete the entire donut, that would be the countywide target of 300,000. So the darker section of the donut, that would be what the Safe Clean Water Program would be contributing. And then the around that portion, you'll see the specific watershed area targets or contributions. All right. So yeah, so that's just meant to represent an example of our current process and thinking regarding watershed planning. Next slide, please. So next, we'll discuss addressing the watershed area needs with prioritized strategies. So another look at similar info is in the initial plan framework and online tool, the outputs of watershed planning and how it will be utilized. So we'll determine our watershed area needs by assessing what the target is and what we have done so far, and that will be what our watershed area needs. And so that difference between the targets and benefits resulting from the investments to date for each watershed area. And watershed planning will support strategic funding decisions to address watershed area needs and prioritize strategies for the Safe Clean Water Program. Next slide, please. So back in July, August, we had facilitated workshops with all 9 of the watershed area steering committees, and they were refreshed on the 14 Safe Clean Water goals, and they discussed the unique characteristics and priorities in their watershed areas. You could see the images there. Committee members jotted down their concerns and priorities, and then the teardrops represent like a collection of themes that came about in each area. And then they built consensus around answering, over the next 5 years in your watershed area, what strategies would be used by projects and studies to achieve Safe Clean Water Program goals. Next slide. So on this slide, this is from the 3 Bay watershed areas. So these are some of the items that were highlighted in those exercises. These are the consensus of important priority strategies that WAS members would like to see implemented and potentially included in the initial watershed plans. I'll just read a couple. For the Central Santa Monica Bay, they wanted to focus on dry weather runoff challenges and opportunities. They wanted to identify measures to link operation and maintenance spending with workforce development targets. In the North Santa Monica Bay, they were interested in engagement with other capital improvement projects in the region, such as Caltrans and Metro. And they also wanted to evaluate any open space that could be acquired. In the South Santa Monica Bay, they were interested in increasing scientific research partnerships, as well as prioritizing environmental justice and equity. All right, next slide. So this slide shows the tentative timeline for programmatic updates to guidance, applications, scoring, etc. along the top. And along the bottom is the watershed planning timeline that will take us from the initial watershed plan framework to adaptive plans. And as mentioned, those initial watershed plans will be ready by next July. And so right now, we are currently taking all the existing plans, data sets, engagement input, to develop the initial plan framework that will be due in November. And starting in October and November, we are conducting a second round of WASC workshops to get more input on the watershed planning effort, so that by the summer of 2025 call for projects, which is round seven, applicants will have more clarity on key definitions, more guidance on project phasing, and will be able to use the watershed plan's new application module and initial revisions to scoring to inform project development. And again, skipping ahead to 2026 and beyond, the results of the watershed plans may inform additional scoring revisions and will continue toward developing the next round of adaptive plans. All right, next slide. I know that was a lot, but before we get to questions, I just want to thank you all for giving us the time to present. And if you go to the next slide, if you think of any questions after this meeting, you can always email us at watershedplanning@pw.lacounty.gov. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for our presenter? Charlie.
Thank you for the presentation. I note that, you know, we're really looking for community engagement. Developers might, there may not be an experienced developer, or I'll reverse that. Some developers of projects are going to be inexperienced because they haven't done it before. What type of technical assistance and oversight is the county prepared to offer developers that may not have the track record or the expertise in some cases, but our strong community involvement partners?
So there's a few ways that that'll happen. So we have our community strengths and needs assessment survey, and that is going to be used by our watershed coordinators in the communities to get feedback from the communities on what are the types of concerns in their communities or the types of projects that they would like to see be done. So the watershed planning will result in an online tool which will identify those opportunity areas and characteristics that are identified by those communities. Additionally, those 12 hired consultants that we have are the watershed coordinators. They're connected to the communities, and they are a liaison to the Safe Clean Water Program. So definitely they are available for any developer to reach out to discuss how to incorporate meaningful community input into their projects. I don't know if Jenny, you wanted to add anything to that, but I think there's a lot of mechanisms by which a developer can get informed about what the community desires.
Yeah, my main concern is that there will be a lot of money spent, and we want effective use of the public's money.
Right.
And any way you can assist a developer in producing a better project,
yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is Genevieve. I was just going to add on, appreciate the question. And in addition to what Lewis shared about the community needs assessment, also the technical resource program, for those that are familiar with that, I think that would be another resource for developers and agencies to get really direct assistance from the district for exactly the help and the assistance that you're requesting for those who may not be familiar with the process.
Any other questions?
Hey, just as part of an agency that is highly involved in Safe Clean Water, I wanted to just thank the district for how quickly and effectively they set up this watershed planning effort. I know one of the drivers was the results of the ROC biennial review and kind of their look back at the first few years of the program, and this was seen as a huge need that was just kind of put out and officially published in like January or something, and they've already reorganized, brought on consultants, started these workshops, and I'm really excited about the results of this, and I'm excited to bring those outcomes into my own agency's planning efforts for the program. So just wanted to put that out there. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I'd just like to follow up in the North Santa Monica Bay watershed. That's a challenging one for this this program, I would like to just put a word in for distributed water capture and reuse through local residential bioswales, essentially, for soil moisture and wildfire. That's a wildfire resilience thing, and also to keep that water going into the aquifer. Some of the more urban-oriented areas, you know, there's going to be a need to capture, store, reuse locally, so there'll be aquifer recharge. But I do want to caution on the potential in our area to do too much of a good thing, which might be capturing that water and recycling it for drinking water. You know, that is a good program, but we got to look at the overall. We don't want to be taking water away from the aquifer in those areas of the North Santa Monica Bay where the primary resource is, you know, endangered species that live in that water when it resurfaces as streams. So put that out there.
Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you for the presentation, and it's been also very rewarding to see this program stood up, and you know, the Board of Supervisors is obviously very engaged and supportive of seeing this happen. I think something that was said in the presentation, but I wanted to emphasize is that though this is a watershed planning process, and I'll ask Jenny and team to affirm this, but you know, it's being planned through the Safe Clean Water Program. But I don't think that the intention is that this is exclusively about guiding investments just for the Safe Clean Water Program, but rather being sort of a, you know, given the diverse stakeholders that are informing this plan, that it'd be useful to several other agencies, whether that's, you know, county and other agencies, water quality planning, but, you know, certainly other goals here. And so I'm optimistic that this is actually a very useful tool for many of us to take away once this is completed.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Aaron, and thank you all for the additional comments. Yes, absolutely. I think these tools and resources that are going to be developed from this very significant effort, you know, the impetus is sort of the adaptive nature and the directives related to the Safe Clean Water Program. But we really look at this as an opportunity, like Aaron mentioned, for this to be beneficial for even broader, larger, like regional efforts and goals. And I know at last meeting, Aaron, you, you know, shared about the LA County Water Plan, and that large, broader vision and those efforts and those, you know, goals and targets are kind of serving as the umbrella under which other bigger efforts like Safe Clean Water Program and others can kind of help, you know, with these tools, help make sure that all of our investments and all of the decisions on these big investments are leading and helping build towards reaching all those goals. So thank you. And I know there was a lot of information presented. So please, if you do have any other follow-up questions, I know the information will be shared afterwards. The Safe Clean Water team and the district are happy to follow up on anything. I think what we really wanted the takeaway for the commission here is that we are in the middle of this very significant process. Like it was mentioned earlier, a lot of you know, resources and staff was mobilized earlier in the year to make sure that this effort could be initiated with intention and with, you know, all the thoughtfulness that went into all the directions that we got. So we really wanted to respect that. But we're just in round, you know, we just wrapped up round one, the feedback that you saw. And I don't know if it's worth going back to that. I think we just wanted to make sure that, you know, for those of you that are overlapping with the membership that go to those WASCs, hopefully those line up with what you feel are at least a good first step in identifying the unique priorities for each of the three watershed areas. And for those of you that are able to engage, we can ask you to continue to really, you know, participate or engage to the extent that you can for you and your teams. We're getting ready to do the round two WASC engagements, and those, again, will include these extensive, more facilitated workshops you know, where there's that's where we're really relying on to get the input for these each individual watershed. So we really encourage participation in those forums. And, you know, perhaps I think it would be useful to, you know, come back and return back to this commission to keep checking in and make sure that the feedback we're getting at those WAFs are in alignment and continuing to be consistent with what other interested parties like this one feels are their priorities. So, yeah, I know there was a lot here. And again, if there are any questions, even later on after the meeting, we're happy to follow up. And I think this hopefully meets what was discussed at the last meeting and builds on the information presented by Bruce and an LA Waterkeeper, and hopefully it helps inform the later items on the meeting agenda today.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. All right. We will move on to item 5A, consideration approval of resolution regarding recommendations to advance and improve the Safe Clean Water Program. Luke.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to share some slides here. So we are not done with Safe Clean Water Program today. This item is to consider adoption of Resolution 2402, Recommendations to Advance and Improve the Safe Clean Water Program. So I'm going to go very quickly on background. Safe Clean Water Program, as you know, provides roughly $280 million annually for multi-benefit runoff capture projects in LA County and does much more than that. Action 43 of the CCMP is to support the Safe Clean Water Program, and our commission has passed resolutions supporting projects under the Safe Clean Water Program in 2020, 2021, and 2022. And then in August of this year, Bruce Resnick presented a resolution supporting some aspects of the Safe Clean Water Program. So this resolution is a little bit different from the previous resolutions we've passed. And I'll give you an overview of the provisions in Resolution 2402. The first provision, and this is a summary, this is not exact language. So Provision 1 supports watershed planning efforts and community engagement in watershed planning. Provision 2 requests the Commission's inclusion on Safe Clean Water Program committees, namely those watershed area steering committees. Provision 3 offers the Commission's expertise in watershed planning, so that's an offer to the county for the Commission's expertise. And Provision 4 of the resolution directs Commission staff and the chair to provide a letter of support. That would go to the Watershed Area Steering Committees and the Board of Supervisors. This resolution did undergo a review process. So this was the language of this resolution was first presented to the Governing Board on August 15th. That's when you received that presentation from Bruce Resnick. And there was a roughly two-week review period for governing board members after that meeting. So there was an initial review period that ended on September 4th. Staff then took those comments and other input that we received to the executive committee and discussed that input, as well as took further recommendations from the executive committee at the September 19th executive committee meeting. And then finally, after considering all of that input, staff provided a staff report to the governing board on September 26th. So that was emailed out to all governing board members and posted online. As a result of that review process, there were some changes made to the resolution. These constituted non-substantive changes, such as clarifying some language or spelling out some acronyms. There was also an edit made to Provision 1 to make sure that it reiterated the importance for community engagement in watershed planning. There was also a change made to Provision 2 that specified that the commission should be designated as a community stakeholder for watershed area steering committees. So our staff's recommendation for this resolution is to adopt Resolution 2402, as it can help advance the goals of the CCMP, namely Action 43. So I will pause here for some questions or comments as we get the language pulled up for you to view. So we're going to pull up the resolution itself now.
Is there any questions for Luke? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion.
I'll so move.
I'll second.
We've got a motion and a second.
Could we clarify who motioned?
Brock for the motion, Francois for the second.
Got it. Thank you.
Just way too fast for you guys. I can see that. My commission is ready to move here. Yeah. Kaylin, can I ask you to roll call?
Sure. Oh, thank you. Okay, so approval of the resolution regarding the Safe Clean Water Program, Sabrina Ashian.
Yes.
Jonathan Bishop.
Aye.
Phil Brock.
Yes.
Charlie Casperi.
Yes.
Megan Cooper.
Yes.
Thank you. Dean Francois.
Yes.
Dan Murphy.
Yes.
Jenny Newman.
Yes.
Aaron Orderwer.
Yes.
Genevieve Osmena.
Yes.
Catherine Peace.
Yes.
Michael Quill.
Yes.
Greg Rochal.
Yes.
Susie Santelena.
Yes.
Clark Stevens.
Yes.
Martha Tremblay.
Yes.
And Aaron Wilson Olgan.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The resolution for the Safe Clean Water Program is approved.
Thank you very much. We will move on to item 5B, consideration approval of a resolution regarding support for the City of Los Angeles Comprehensive Plastics Reduction Program. Caitlin, can you introduce this item?
Yes. I will also be sharing some slides, and this is the second resolution we've brought to you today that stemmed from the August Governing Board meeting where we had a presentation. So just going to provide some background information and then dive into some of the aspects of the resolution. We did not have a draft presented at the last August meeting, so but hopefully all members had an opportunity to review before today. All right, so Action 32 of our Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan is to reduce marine debris by supporting bans on single-use items, conducting outreach, and participating in trash reduction programs. Our executive committee identified trash pollution as a priority informational item for this year, and we've heard a few info items on trash reduction programs this year, one of which was at the August Governing Board meeting on the City of LA's Comprehensive Plastics Reduction Program. The program itself is a citywide strategy to... Sorry, I think there's a lag in the... There we go. Wait. There we go. So the program itself is a citywide strategy to comprehensively reduce plastic waste and the environmental and human health impacts of single-use plastics. At the August meeting, we heard from LA Sanitation and Environment staff about the draft program environmental impact report, the public review process, which wrapped up in April of this year, and we actually had the final draft, or LA San had the final draft released in early September. The program EIR was certified by LA City Council on October 1st, which approved the overall program to comprehensively reduce plastics citywide. The next steps for the program are to develop policy for three upstream measures identified by City Council: requiring reusable foodware for dine-in services citywide, requiring recyclable compostable takeout foodware products citywide, and ban of single-use printer cartridges. The City Council also directed LA Sanitation to report back to the Council on the development of a pilot program for reusable and returnable takeout foodware. The program includes upstream and downstream measures to reduce or eliminate production and use of single-use plastic products, encourage reuse of other items, and increase the city's ability to manage collecting, reusing, recycling, and composting alternative materials. So just for the timeline, again, we heard a presentation at the August 15 meeting, and at that meeting, members suggested bringing a resolution supporting the program for the governing board's consideration. Member Catherine Peace provided commission staff with a draft resolution that we distributed to the executive committee members prior to the September executive committee meeting. At the September meeting, the executive committee discussed and revised the draft resolution, made some minor suggestions, finalized the draft resolution, and recommended scheduling the consideration of its approval for this meeting. Commission staff distributed and posted the final draft resolution on September 26th, and we requested any additional edits from members by October 3rd, and we did not receive any additional comments during that time. So, and today, you know, we're requesting members to discuss and make changes and consider approval of the draft. Some of those minor changes that the executive committee made were adding LA Waterkeeper as a member of the Reusable LA Coalition in the fourth whereas clause, and just a very minor change to remove the word the when referring to Santa Monica Bay and its watershed. So again, very minor edits. So the final draft resolution has two provisions. It supports efforts by the City of LA to reduce or eliminate the input of single-use plastics into the city's waste stream. Oh, sorry, the screen is lagging. Okay, there we go. Supports efforts by the City of LA to reduce or eliminate the input of single-use plastics into the waste stream, and also directs commission staff to provide the resolution to the City Council with a letter from the Governing Board Chair. And staff recommend that the Governing Board adopt Resolution 2403, and the commission support of the program will be valuable and influential as the City begins policy development for those three upstream measures that I mentioned earlier. And if approved, staff will work with city staff to submit the letter to ensure that the commission's support is represented in the council file. And we can answer any questions.
Any questions for staff? Seeing none, I would. Question. Yes, go ahead, Dean.
So it's good to see that we are supporting the efforts to eliminate plastics into the city waste stream, but many times critics have stated that we're too focused on reducing the uses, and so I'm just wondering what specific efforts are going on to actually directly eliminate the plastics into the city's waste system.
So we do not have a representative here to
right. I know
to answer that question. Don't. So, but we
just
can
put it out there. You know.
Okay. Thank you.
That's all. I thought maybe someone might know.
We do have some members that do work on plastics. If any of them would like to weigh in on their efforts, but I don't want to put anybody on the spot.
Okay. Thanks.
I can comment, at least also in terms of Heal the Bay's advocacy role with the work that the city is doing, because I think the question is directed at the city, correct? And I won't speak on behalf of the right. city, in any way, but as Caitlin mentioned, the programmatic environmental impact report was just certified, approved by the City Council, and so that sets the stage. And in that same motion where they approved it, they directed kind of priority motions that would come next. So being a reuse for dine-in measure at the city, so that would require restaurants to provide reusable foodware if people are dining in. So that's a way of stopping plastic at the source. There would also be the motion that would look at foodware, what it's made of, so requiring that foodware either be compostable or truly recyclable. So that would, in essence, the county has already done that. In essence, that would remove plastic foodware for to-go things. And then there's also the plastic, the printer cartridge one, which I'm not as familiar with, but I think, again, kind of aiming at reducing plastic at the source. So those are just three, and there's a whole suite of other measures in the PEIR. So upstream measures where it is really reducing the source, and then downstream measures as well. So I think we're on a good path.
Thanks.
And I can add just a couple of things. Thank you so much, Catherine. That's exactly what we've been doing. And we've passed a total of six different ordinances to target those sources of plastics. One of the big ones was a ban on styrofoam. And then, as was mentioned, targeting those single-use plastics that come from restaurants and having people request those rather than automatically just getting it and giving it away. So also just internally at the city, whenever we hold city events, or we have to have zero waste events at those events, and we're moving all of our city facilities to zero waste as well. Those are just a few
things.
Thank
you very much. Thank you, Dean, for bringing it up. Any other comments, questions?
Chair?
Yes.
Yes. Hi. I just wanted to note that this this aligns and supports state efforts on plastic reduction as everybody weighs their vote here on this matter. And, you know, in particular, as you all are aware of SB 54, Senator Allen's Plastic Reduction Act, and most recently this session, Senator Blake Sphere and Senator Allen's SB, I wrote down the numbers, 1053, which goes further and is a cleanup bill to prior efforts. So, yeah.
Thank you very much for bringing that into context. Any other questions, comments? Yes.
Just a comment. So EPA has a funding opportunity that is open right now called the Solid Waste Infrastructure. SWIFR is the acronym. So, and I think infrastructure funding and then recycling is the last piece. But what I'm getting at is there is reuse is an eligible activity. So this is a nationwide competition, but I will send the link to Luke and Caitlin to share with all of you. And then I also wanted to share that last year, Hilo Hawaii was awarded one of these grants to create kind of a reuse infrastructure. I know it's a very different geography than here, but it's something I think I mentioned when we to City of LA Sanitation and Environment staff when we got to have lunch with them in May, kind of checking out their program. But I just say it's something to keep an eye on as they develop. So they are doing the takeout reuse and, you know, I'm sorry, my words are escaping me this morning, but basically in-house dining and takeout. So they're trying to tackle all of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? All right. Seeing none, I would look for a motion.
Move to support.
I'll second then.
Someone I think Aaron moved.
I'll second.
Kaylin, can we move to roll call?
Yes. Just one moment while I share the roster. Okay. All right. Sabrina Ashtian.
Yes.
Jonathan Bishop?
Aye.
Phil Brock?
Yes.
Charlie Casperi?
Yes.
Megan Cooper?
Enthusiastic yes. Well done.
Dean Francois?
Yes.
Dan Murphy?
Yes.
Jenny Newman?
Yes.
Aaron Ordower?
Yes.
Genevieve Osmena?
Yes.
Catherine Peace?
Yes.
Michael Quill?
Yes.
Greg Rashaw?
Yes.
Susie Santolina?
Yes.
Clark Stevens?
Yes.
Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Aaron Wilson-Olgan?
Yes.
Thank you. The resolution is approved.
Thank you all. All right. So we do not have a closed session today. Is that correct? Okay. So I'd like to move on to member comments on issues not on the agenda. Ryan.
If I may, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to expand upon my introduction and say thank you so much for having the Assemblywoman be a part of this commission. This is my third week on the job, I'm new to this office, but not new to the legislature. This is my third assembly member now, and part of coming onto the job was what tables are we not at that we should be at, and so that's why I reached out to the great staff that we have, and Luke and Caitlin, and I thank them for the orientation that they gave us. This is the redistricting process has brought us further into the Santa Monica Bay now that we have Malibu and the West Side, and we're so appreciative to have the opportunity to represent them. And so excited to work with our fellow legislators and Senator Allen and Assemblymember McKinner and Assemblymember Zabur and represent this great area. So just never hesitate to reach out. Excited to work with you.
Well, happy to have you. Thank you very much. Any other announcements, comments, concerns?
I'll read.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to let everyone know, and I want to say thank you. Charlie's, this is his last meeting. So I want to say thank you to Charlie for all his years. I learned so much from him, and I'm going to miss him so much. But anyway, I just wanted to mention something because I didn't think he was going to say anything.
I'm pretty sure he wasn't, but I would all like to remind you that Charlie was our chair, I think, for a couple of rounds there. Yeah. And I really appreciate his work on the board.
Well, thank you, Martha. Thank you, Jonathan. It's been an honor to represent.
It's been an honor to represent Las Virgenes Municipal Water District on this board. We will continue our participation in the restoration work in Santa Monica Bay. It's a very important thing to our district and our district's customers. I want to thank each and every one of you. It's been a wonderful experience. I think the commission has done and will continue to do some really good things for Santa Monica Bay. So thank you very much. It's been fun.
All right. Dean.
Thank you, and thank you, Charlie. It's been great having you here. You really have provided a lot of input that go beyond what you do in the water district. So it's been great, and appreciate that. I wanted to just state that at the last executive committee meeting, we formed a subcommittee task force, if you will, to just take a look at the Biona Wetlands, the whatever delicate restoration can be done in the interim, dealing with invasive plants and minimizing danger to existing habitats at some cost-effective approach. So if anyone else is interested in being a part of that, I believe Mayor Brock had expressed an interest in that. Just let Jonathan, myself, or staff know, and we'll get together. We're going to be having a meeting coming up shortly to put brainstorm some things together and see if we can come up with something. So thank you.
Yes.
I have another sad announcement to make, that this is also the last meeting for member Catherine Pease, who's been with the commission for several years now and a major contributor. So just like to make that announcement as well.
Catherine, very sorry to see you go. I know that I personally already thanked you, but As the chair, I'd like to thank you for all your work on the commission.
Yeah, thank you. It's been really a pleasure to work with you all. Heal the Bay remains committed to the commission, and we'll be here. But, yeah, I appreciate it, and it's been wonderful. Thanks.
Any other?
May we applaud at this point?
If there's nobody else leaving. Yes, of course, for our two departing members. Any other announcement from members? Seeing none. Our next executive committee meeting will be on November 21st at the Edward C. Little Water Recycling Facility at 1 p.m. And our next governing board meeting is December 12th at the here at the Marina Del Rey Yacht Club at 9:30. We made it today. We were very close to not making a quorum. I urge folks to plan ahead and to try and come to these meetings in person so that we have a quorum. And at that, I would adjourn and thank you all very much.